It's Wednesday, June 10th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, South Korean President Park Geun-hye postpones her visit to the United States to deal with her country's MERS outbreak.
I think the news early on, particularly on Monday, the news that so many more cases spiked beyond what they expected, I think that changed their minds.
Myanmar's opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi visits China, and singer Kelly Clarkson has a new song, Invincible, that we'll hear about. It's all ahead. South Korean President Park Geun-hye has postponed next week's planned visit to the United States as her country deals with an outbreak of MERS. Her office said Ms. Park will reschedule the trip to Washington, where she was to hold talks with President Barack Obama. It's not known when the trip will be rescheduled. Seoul on Wednesday confirmed two more deaths as a result of the MERS outbreak, bringing the total number of fatalities to 9. Both victims, who were in their 60s and 70s, already had pre-existing ailments, according to officials. VOA correspondent Brian Padden in Seoul joins us. Well, to begin with, Brian, apparently South Korea's President Park Geun-hye has decided to postpone this weekend's visit to the United States because her country is now battling an outbreak of the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, also known as MERS. Did she make any, how did she let the public know about her decision?
A spokesperson from her office released a statement and then read the statement for the media. She did not make any direct comments yet. They had indicated earlier in this week that the trip was still on, but this outbreak is just persisting. And I think the news early on, particularly on Monday, the news that so many more cases spiked beyond what they expected, I think that changed their minds.
How has this disease so far impacted South Korea?
It's a strange situation here. If you go day to day, if you're on the train, if you're on the street, you see very little impact. You see a number of people wearing masks, but not even a majority of people. It's just a smattering of people. We went out on the street to interview people in the main shopping district the other day, and the vast majority of people wearing masks were tourists who've come to town and have heard, we're very concerned about it. But the people who are living here seem much more calm. There are two areas that seem to be really affected. One is tourism. That's starting to dry up. You have tours being canceled from China, from Singapore, from Hong Kong. And then you have any sort of public event. Many public events were canceled earlier, but movie theaters, I'm told, are half empty. Shopping is down in the major malls. So these are kind of the effects.
Now, apparently, experts from the World Health Organization, as well as some from South Korea, have been urging the reopening of nearly 2,500 schools that have been closed over fears about this outbreak of the virus. Is that likely to happen? Are the schools likely to be reopened?
That's a hard one to tell. I think the government officials, particularly the Health Ministry and Ministry of Education, that they were criticized early on for their very slow response and not taking this seriously. Now there has been some comments that they may have gone overboard in canceling over 2,000 schools, and it seems like the numbers are rising, and quarantining or putting in isolation over 3,000 people. So it's hard to say whether they'll quickly reverse this decision. This week, we're being told, is the critical week. If they start seeing a decrease in cases, and they've, in the last couple of days, you've seen a decrease in the rate of increase, if that makes sense. But if that continues, this is a critical week because all the people who were exposed to the first generation of the primary patient, if you will, those are the ones who are, it's all working through their systems now. So if they have successfully contained that population of people who've been exposed to that first patient or the few people or the number, the large number of people who've been exposed to that first patient, then they may start looking at reopening the schools. But then again, we're at the very end of the school year here. In some ways, it's for elementary schools. Now, the schools they were closing are elementary schools and kindergarten, and those schools are, it's coming to the end of their school year in the next week or so.
So it won't have as much impact in a lot of ways.
It probably won't. If it happened, say, in November, it would have been a bigger deal October, November, when they have these major exams for children on how to get into the next level of school. And they have these cram sessions here. You know, they take education very seriously here in South Korea, have a very successful and high level functioning academic system. So yeah, later in the year it could have been more, how do you say, impactful.
Okay, thank you very much, Brian.
All right, thank you.
That's VOA's Brian Padden in Seoul. Well, now joining me in the studio is web desk editor Andrew Palshevsky with a look at what's trending today. So, Andrew, what's happening?
Well, the breaking news this morning is that FIFA, as we've been talking about for the past few weeks, it's been a hot trending topic in social media. The trending topic this morning is that FIFA has announced that they are suspending bidding for the 2026 World Cup. Now, they were supposed to announce who was going to receive the 2026 World Cup in 2017 at a meeting in Kuala Lumpur, but because of the recent scandals, they've suspended that. So that's a hot trending topic on social media this morning. The news first breaking there, and news organizations rushing to cover that on social media. And now we're seeing the kind of second wave where people are starting to make jokes. Some of the ones that I saw are people saying, oh, well, FIFA said they're going to award it to an up-and-coming new country called the Islamic State. Someone else photoshopping a picture of Sepp Blatter holding a card saying that the 2026 World Cup was going to North Korea. A lot of jokes made at FIFA's expense as a result of this corruption scandal that we're hearing about.
Right, really feeling the heat.
Yeah. Absolutely. Another top trending topic this morning, at least in the U.S., is Juan Felipe Herrera. You may not know that name, but you certainly will get to know him after today, because the Library of Congress is set to name him today the U.S. Poet Laureate. It's the chief poet in the U.S., and he is Mexican-American, so he's the first Hispanic Poet Laureate to hold the position. He was Poet Laureate of California from 2012 to 2014, so people congratulating him on social media, but that name popping up in Twitter. And I wanted to bring up another story that I saw that was, you know, often we talk about social media being used for jokes or just to spread news, but there was a story that shows that it can have positive effects as well out of Canada. As the University of Waterloo did a study and found that social media was more effective at smoking cessation, getting teenagers to stop smoking, than in-person programs or support groups, anything like that. Said it was actually their peers urging them to stop on social media that
How
was the most effective. So it's one of the ways that we use social media in a positive way. I've seen other studies that are similar to this where, you know, peer groups putting pressure on kids to not drink and things like that have been very successful. So it's a positive use of social media, and one we may see in the future in different apps and things trying to connect people to engage in positive behavior.
Yeah, any way to quit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Andrew. That's web desk editor Andrew Palshevsky. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA was partially successful with the recent test of its low-density supersonic decelerator, or LDSD. The flying saucer-shaped vehicle was designed to test new technologies to help the space agency land bigger and heavier spacecraft on planets such as Mars. After being carried by a balloon to an altitude of about 36 kilometers, the vehicle was released and its rocket took it higher.
Ignition confirmed. Video recording.
To nearly 55 kilometers. To test a landing, the LDSD then successfully deployed its donut-shaped airbag and its enormous supersonic parachute.
BT2 detected.
But the parachute shredded into pieces shortly after opening, disappointing mission control. The recent test flight of the LDSD was the second of three scheduled test flights. Its final test is scheduled for next summer. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Kelly Clarkson wants to prove that she's invincible. Myanmar democracy activist, opposition leader, and Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi is beginning her first visit to China. The trip's expected to include meetings with President Xi Jinping and Premier Li Keqiang. The state-run Global Times calls the visit historic and groundbreaking. It calls it a gesture of openness from Beijing as it explores diversified channels to boost ties with Myanmar, also known as Burma, in a pragmatic approach to democracy that reflects a changing environment. Media reports suggest that during her visit, Aung San Suu Kyi will raise the issue of jailed fellow Nobel laureate and democracy activist Liu Xiaobo. Sean Turnell, a Myanmar analyst at Australia's Macquarie University, tells VOA's Victor Beatty the invitation to visit is extraordinary, given that it was extended to an opposition leader.
It seems to me it's almost unprecedented in Southeast Asia that China would devote such attention to somebody in the opposition, you know, in another country, because as we know, of course, China is always very, very concerned about, or professes a concern, I should say, about non-interfering in other countries' affairs and all that sort of thing. So it is interesting that they're actually giving her this much access. So I think that says something about, you know, the power that she continues to yield in the imagination, I guess, of, you know, many people around the world, but including China. So that's number one. I think the second thing, of course, is to note is that there have been tensions between Burma and China in recent times. We've seen conflict in the Kokang region, but right at the instigation of the Burma's current new government, the Tansan government, we saw tensions between the two countries. And, of course, that was fairly deliberate because really the main motivation for some of the changes by this new Tansan government was essentially to come out from under China's shadow. You know, I think it was the case that many of the generals who controlled Burma up until 2011, it wasn't like that they suddenly undertook some sort of democratic conversion or anything like that. I think the reason why they started to instigate changes in 2011 was this sort of residual fear in Burma of becoming simply a vassal state of China. So right from the outset, Tansane's government was about asserting differences to China. So, you know, the tensions, in other words, are of a few years standing now, of which this military conflict is really just the latest manifestation.
This comes just ahead of November elections in Myanmar, in which the National League for Democracy is expected to make big gains. Obviously, Aung San Suu Kyi appears to be precluded from becoming the country's leader under the constitution. Is this China's tacit acknowledgement that the NLD is a power to deal with?
Yeah, I think it is. Suu Kyi will be precluded from becoming president from the constitution. But notwithstanding that, and what might follow from that, her party, the National League for Democracy, under any sort of survey that's been undertaken, will win a very substantial majority. You know, it's hard to imagine any other circumstance than that. So really, this is China recognizing that there will be a new power within Burma, even if it's not Suu Kyi as president. Suu Kyi remains far and away the dominant figure in the NLD, and so, you know, perhaps not surprisingly then, the Chinese are recognizing that she will be a considerable force in the country, and it's really time to get to know her.
If she brings the issue of Liu Xiaobo up to these Chinese authorities, is that going to cause a problem?
I wouldn't think so. I think the Chinese wouldn't like it, of course, but I think they would have to expect it. So no doubt, you know, that they'll organize things such that they minimize any statement to that end.
Aung San Suu Kyi's global image as a rights advocate has lost some of its luster, and she's been criticized by rights groups for a slow and measured response to the plight of Myanmar's Rohingya Muslims, who are at the center of that Asian migrant crisis that has been engulfing the region. Is that a problem for her?
It is a problem, but I think it's a problem more of perception than anything else. I think the criticisms of her on that front actually have been very unfair, mainly because, you know, I think people forget sometimes that she's actually not in government. You know, she has no power at all. So the only thing that she could do is speak up some more. But then we'd have to ask ourselves, to what end? What would be the outcome of that? You know, because she's very outspoken on a whole range of issues. But in terms of then asking, well, has the Myanmar government responded? Have the violence against the Rohingyas or against the Kachin, or has constitutional change happened? And, of course, the answer to that is no. And so, in other words, you know, it could be the case that she spoke more about it, but whether it would achieve anything except potentially diminishing her prospects of the elections later this year, you know, would be a real moot point. And I think given all of that, given that perhaps nothing constructive could come out of that, I think what she would say and what the NLD would probably say is that, look, the Rohingya issue and many other of the problems in Burma can only really be solved by a change of government. And so really their focus is on that.
That's Sean Turnell of Macquarie University. Ms. Suu Kyi's visit comes amid conflict between Myanmar forces and ethnic fighters that has spilled over the border in the past few months. One incident resulted in the deaths of five Chinese following a bombing attack by a Myanmar warplane in March. Hundreds of thousands have reportedly fled the fighting in China's Yunnan province. This is VOA.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artist. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
Singer Kelly Clarkson is making news again, proving she's got staying power. In fact, you might say she's invincible. Here's VOA's David Byrd and Larry London to explain. Okay, we seem to be having a slight technical difficulty at the moment.
She won the very first American Idol, and now Kelly Clarkson has a new song that's climbing the charts. It's called Invincible. It's from her new CD, Piece by Piece, and Larry London joins me to talk about this tune. Larry,
well,
this is an anthem, another anthem from Kelly Clarkson, I guess.
She's very good at creating music that people can relate to and connect with, and that's one of the keys to her success over the years. And the new album is great, Piece by Piece. She took an off-road for a little bit, did some country music, but she's kind of back in the main lane of the pop world and just finished off with a Heartbeat song, which was her 16th top 40 single. And so the new song, Invincible, as you mentioned, it's an inspirational song. It's a very happy, positive song. And Kelly's in a very positive place right now, despite all of the criticism that she's been undergoing recently because of her weight gain. And so she's okay. She's happy with herself. She says, I love myself, and I am invincible, which is what this song kind of reflects and represents.
You know I was broke down. I hit the ground. I was crying now. I couldn't make no sound. No one hears the silent tears collecting. You know I had lost hope. I was all alone. Never been.
Now, she had a baby, right? That's
Yeah.
why she had some weight gain.
Well, she's always battled weight. That's been a problem that she's dealt with her entire life. She admits openly that the weight issues have always been troublesome for her. She did drop a few pounds a number of years ago, but since the baby, since the birth of River Rose, it has not been a very easy thing for her to get rid of the weight. But she's happy with herself, as she said. In fact, she said after she finishes her current tour, she's going to try and get pregnant again. She wants to have another baby by the end of this year. She wants to be pregnant.
And this song talks about, you know, issues like overcoming abuse. The video for it has different women in different scenarios. One woman is in a wheelchair. One woman is like in an abusive situation, you know, and it's different ethnicities, different races, et cetera. And is Kelly trying to broaden her appeal with the video, or what exactly is she doing there?
Well, that's an interesting question, David. Kelly, you know, currently appeals to quite a diverse group of people to begin with. They all like her and relate to her. She's a person who's overcome a number of obstacles, as we mentioned a little while ago. She grew up in a very small town in Texas, and they weren't very wealthy. Mom was an English teacher. And so, you know, she's considers herself to be the average kind of person. She doesn't look at herself as a star. She thinks her music is very relatable, and she's very reachable. She's very reachable. She's not kind of up on a perch or anything like that. She wants to be an everybody's person, and I think she comes across that way. You really like Kelly. She's genuine with everything she does. 25 million sales. She's won so many awards, including 12 Billboard Music Awards. So, you know, she's got the appeal that is necessary to make it in the music business these days. And the new song is doing very well. She performed it for the first time on television at the Billboard Awards show.
All right. That's VOA's Larry London. We'd love to hear what you think about this. You can go on to our Facebook page. That's VOA Music. It's facebook.com/VOA-music. You can leave your comments there. Larry also hosts VOA's Border Crossings, which has its own Facebook page. You can contact him there. Maybe he'll play Kelly Clarkson's Invincible.
We'd love to do it.
That is the music of Kelly Clarkson. She's singing the song Invincible. Well, that's our show. If you'd like to listen to today's program again or any previous broadcast, please visit our website at voanews.com. You can go to the Programs tab in the upper right-hand corner, then scroll down to International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks very much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Addressing climate change is a key priority for the Obama administration. And so it is no surprise that U.S. global leadership on climate extends to one of the most fragile regions in the world, the Arctic. As the new chair of the Arctic Council, the United States has made cooperation to reduce emissions, protection of communities from the impacts of climate change, and the building of foundational climate science key pillars of its agenda. Every nation that cares about the future of the Arctic has to be a leader in taking and urging others to move forward with bold initiatives and immediate, ambitious steps to curb the impact of greenhouse gases, said Secretary of State John Kerry at a reception for the Arctic Council that he recently hosted in Washington, D.C. The Arctic Council has a responsibility to the people who live in the region. As beautiful as it is not just a picturesque landscape. It's a home. It's a lifestyle, said Secretary of State Kerry. Our priorities include Arctic Ocean safety, security, and stewardship. This includes improving economic and living conditions of the inhabitants of Arctic communities. That is a critical concern, indigenous population and what development or changes in the environment might do to those folks, said Mr. Kerry.
Over the next years, we're going to focus on the well-being of the indigenous communities, and we're going to take into account that the melting of the ice is now opening up the possibilities of a great deal more commercial traffic, a great deal more tourism, ecotourism or otherwise, and a great deal more shipping, fishing, and commercial operations, particularly possibility of extraction of minerals from the ocean.
We want a region where people can live with hope and optimism for the future, where strong measures are being taken to mitigate environmental harm, where natural resources are managed effectively and sustainably, and where the challenges of economic development and social cohesion are being addressed in a creative, sensitive, responsible way, said Secretary of State Kerry. Above all, we want a region where every stakeholder has a voice and a role in making the idea of one Arctic a reality.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.